So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with antissa. Patient. But maybe the rain isn't really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Drink this week because I listened to our last episode and it was like most zero energy show that we've done.
Because I'm already ready to go to sleep.
Yeah, right, so I got this energy drink. I did just get off of like a 9-hour shift. I'm ready to go, man. I'm super excited for Rebootoween 2017 Part 2. We got Rocky Horror Picture Show, which Ish, of course, did not watch again.
Yep. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, colon, let's do the time warp again.
Yeah.
Is that the subtitle?
That's the whole title.
Nice.
We'll get into it, but god damn, what an awful, awful remake. On your list of like bad, I guess that company's done other remakes of musicals too.
They did. Are they the same company that did The Sound of Music?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be pretty good. I didn't see that.
They did another one too. They did Grease. They did. Oh, yeah.
So Grease, yeah.
The thing was, they did Sound of Music and Grease live.
Right.
So it was broadcasted on Hulu at the same time they were actually doing it.
Uh-huh.
And then when they got to Rocky Horror Picture Show, they decided to pre-record it and not do it live. I'm guessing because it's a hard, with all the set changes and stuff, probably a hard one to do live, but I bet it would have been better because, god, that was some awful pre-recorded music.
Yeah, the music fucking sucked.
But
you need like some like hard rock in that and to make a good Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
It was like pop shit.
It was Glee, the Rocky Horror musical. Danny's getting that Crave case.
Digging in.
I can't use my microphone and eat at the same time.
You
can try to help
it's
you with
that. It's not actually a stand.
You can.
It's more of a...
You can do anything you put your mind to, Danny. I believe you, man. See, look at that. You're eating. You're using your microphone. Who puts ketchup on White Castles, though? They're literally designed to just pop right in your mouth. No assembly required.
You might as well go to Crystals at that point.
Just like ketchup.
Have you guys ever been to a Crystals, which is like the...
Yeah, like the natural like brown grease sauce that coats every White Castle grill is your sauce for those burgers. It's like full of like salt and burger and meth sweat.
I was the only one in the entire waiting room that probably was not high on some form of pharmaceutical.
Oh, you went inside a White Castle?
You're not high?
Because it was a special, if you ordered online, it was like a big discount. So I ordered it through the app and had to go in and pick it up.
Ugh.
I thought it was really
You would have to pay me to go into a White Castle at 11.
A White Castle Crave case. So you had like a coupon?
Yeah.
What kind of app is this?
It's the White Castle app. I physically downloaded.
How did you download the White Castle app?
It was on the App Store.
You're like, all right, apps. I need some new apps on my phone.
White Castle.
I'll go through like what's the most downloaded, most pop. Oh, White Castle app.
I got a lovely email.
When was the last time I went to White Castle? I don't know. Probably, I should download the White Castle app. You got Crave Cake. Do you get the coupon every time?
No, it was just an email that I got that said if you ordered on Friday the 20th, it was
hit me. How much was that Crave case?
$13.99.
How much are they normally?
$21.99.
That's some savings.
That's worth it.
That's probably more than any one of my phone apps.
I knew there's a White Castle on the way to Matt's house. I was like, Matt got pizza last time.
So did you go the one on Taft?
I went to the one on 3rd Street in Covington.
I got shitty pizza that nobody liked last time.
I loved it. That barbecue stuff was delicious. I had like 4 pieces of pizza sitting here.
I did not realize that when I ordered that pepperoni thing that it was going to actually have like
hot dogs
actual fucking tomatoes on it.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
don't know.
They were like a savage.
Had there been another cup of ranch, I probably would have eaten more of the buffalo pizza.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, buffalo mac and cheese was legit. When are we going to get a soundboard? You need to get like the little
yeah. Pew, 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 pew. You seen that episode of It's Always Sunny where they get the soundboard? Yeah. Yeah, we should definitely do that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
Do we?
Yeah, we always have a lot of stuff to talk about, Danny. This is the last episode because next week we turn into Celebrity Ghost Talkers, episode 1. Really on board with this idea. I don't know how much everybody else is, but looking into getting a new podcast where we interview a different dead celebrity every week. I think we could slot three celebrities in every week. So my idea was like we go with like a popular one, like maybe episode 1, just pull out David Bowie, and then every episode we do a different president. We just start with George Washington and work our way up in chronological order.
Okay.
And then maybe like, I don't know what the third could be, like a wild card, like Tennessee Williams. So like episode 1, David Bowie, George Washington, and Tennessee Williams. That is a packed hour of interviews.
That could be good.
Yeah.
Be good.
Yeah. You guys let us know.
Once we get up in the president, there's going to be like a big gray area of presidents where, you know, in history you have like the top 10, and then all the other ones kind of just fold in there somewhere.
Yeah. I also think like it's going to be like two of you on the Ouija board because four of us gathering around the Ouija board with all this equipment.
And Matt is scared of Ouija boards, evidently, we've learned today.
Yeah, I have an irrational fear of Ouija boards.
We have to keep that down on this.
He's afraid he's going to get exercised.
Because I saw The Exorcist when I was way too young.
I mean, I did too.
I had a severe Christian upbringing, so those two things.
Yeah. I don't like... So I watched The Exorcist as a kid, as we all did, and I also had a severe, like, religious upbringing, but I was like, it's only scared for the people that aren't possessed, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, because if I'm possessed, like, you guys have to deal with me vomiting and crawling on the ceiling and masturbating with a crucifix, but I don't...
Throwing us out windows downstairs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, but for the guy that's possessed, it's just like, you know?
It's supposed to be pretty bad for them,
for the
too,
possessed,
apparently.
You just get, like, a nice workout.
Right.
Backstretch.
I mean, I'm sure there's some, like, mental trauma, but, you know, I can deal.
Yeah, I mean, it can't
turn
feel good.
Turn kind of ugly. Turn kind of ugly.
Yeah, I mean...
It can't be good for your body to twist your head all the way around.
I mean, I don't know. Like, that's essentially what a chiropractor does. Chiropractors are practically warlocks or, you know... Witch doctors, I'm sure it's something similar to what they do in their pseudoscience.
I think that's the title of the episode.
Non-medical degree.
Chiropractors are practically warlocks.
I mean, they are.
I really like the chiropractor.
Are you serious?
I do.
You pay to go.
With my insurance, you get like 15 free visits a year. You got to take advantage of it.
You think Ish doesn't have back problems?
I really don't have back problems.
I mean, it's great. Chiropractor doesn't... It's not a real doctor. They're just a person that
No. It is complete.
You could just go to like the mall and do the like little massage chair in the mall.
It is complete bullshit. You go in, you lay down on the water massage table, which is just like a powerful jet of water inside a table that just kind of massages you for 10 minutes.
I got a water hose. You can come over to my house. Lay down in the yard. I'll spray you with the water hose.
And then you get adjusted, which is where you lay down and they kind of do like the pop, snap, crackle, like very limited. And then the weirdest thing ever, at the very end, he takes this little like tool.
Oh, we know what happens at the end of
it. It has like two metal discs and he puts it up and he does it right on your earlobe and just like squeezes he squeezes the metal disc.
Does he like, massage your ears until you?
It looks like a tuning fork, but it's very small. The tip, and he kind of just like touches your earlobe with it. And it's like,
does he douse you for water too?
I'm just saying, I have experience with the chiropractor, and it was quite enjoyable, except for that weird ear touch at the end.
That's when you have your happy ending.
Yeah.
I don't think that's normal for a chiropractor. I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Dude, I don't know what it is.
I think
you were molested.
You got bad touched at the chiropractor, man. Is it a dude?
He's pursuing his own sexual fantasy.
Do you have the option?
In a profession.
Yeah. Do you have the option for a woman? Like, do you get to pick?
The massage part of the beginning is a woman that like turns the table on. That's about it.
Just a woman to turn the table.
They need a whole person to turn the table.
Just to get you excited. You're like, yes, it's a woman.
No. Yeah, she sets you up. He finishes you off. I like it.
Man.
I can't believe that
metal ear fetish.
Your insurance pays for a chiropractor.
You better wise up, just now.
Do they pay for like tarot readings and stuff too?
Like, that was $15 a reference.
I didn't hear you, Dave. What'd you say?
You better wise up, Justin.
Oh. So yeah, that's how we spend our money. That's right.
Hey, it doesn't cost me anything. Well, I guess it does on insurance.
The more you go, the more often you have to go linear later along in life is what I hear.
Oh, so really?
Like the 15 free visits is going to turn into like 45.
You're like, we've irrevocably fucked up your back and you can only come to us to get it straightened out again.
He like slowly puts it off a degree every time. So
like I've never been to a chiropractor and then I think I'm good. Like I'm sure I'd go and they'd be like, oh, get in here, Jim. We got a real fucked up back here.
His chakras are way out of alignment.
Why wouldn't you just get like a massage instead? Go to like a spa.
You'd have to pay for that.
I mean, hey. So how do you get free chiropractic visits?
It's just part of my insurance.
That's cool that you do that. I mean, people do weirder things.
Yeah.
I went to the Renaissance Fair 2 weeks in a row. Because the first time I went, it rained out after we were there for like an hour and a half. And then the second time we went, it rained us out after like an hour and a half. But they have this fortune teller booth. I keep like, man, I should go in there and get my fortune told. But I don't know why. That's probably like $20.
We still got two more weekends, right?
I know. I need to go up there and get my fortune. I've been really big.
I have a $2 off ticket in the backseat of my car if you need it.
Thanks. Thanks. If you get your tickets online, you get like $5 off. But I've been really big into... So I've been reading some articles about David Bowie because I never properly grieved. And I got around to listening to Black Star, like the final album he put out, you know, a year later. Like, I don't want to do it. And I really got into like David Bowie and the occult and found out all these amazing things that I had no idea. Did you know that for about 10 years that David Bowie and Jimmy Page waged a magical war on each other? They were literally wizard nemesis.
Oh, God.
And David Bowie literally was so afraid that Jimmy Page was trying to kill him mystically.
Turn him into a newt.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, he spent so much money and time trying to battle Jimmy Page.
With magic.
With magic. And I guess they, like... They were both really big into Crowley, and Jimmy Page bought Crowley's like mansion or whatever. And then during this time, David Bowie was at the height of his like coke use, and he was, in his own words, like a coke maniac and was hallucinating, and his wife didn't know what to do. And I guess like he just comes home and he's like, Jimmy Page is trying to cast a magic spell on me. Like, get out the sacred text. I have to fight him back. And his wife's just like, what the fuck is going on? He claimed that like Satan came out of his swimming pool and he had to leave his house for like 3 weeks because he couldn't go back because Satan used his swimming pool as a portal into this world. And he was afraid that Jimmy Page summoned Satan to assassinate him. But yeah, I mean, there's some cool stuff there. I want to write like a book about the
magical wars between Jimmy Page.
I imagine there's alternate history where they're both like badass warlocks and they spent like, you know, 10 solid years like trying to one up each other. And then in my mind, I'm like, you know, Mark Bowen, T-Rex. You know what I'm talking about? Well, David Bowie was on the Mark Bowen show and then a week later, T-Rex died. So I'd open up the book with David Bowie making Mark Bolan a horcrux and Jimmy Page assassinating Mark Bolan from T-Rex because he's trying to kill all of David Bowie's horcrux, like, you know, Harry Potter. That could be good. I think there's something there.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah. It'd be a good show.
Yeah.
For all your good ideas tonight, you need to be like TM. Like, you
know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything I say on here is trademarked, so nobody make this sweet warlock battle show between... The eternal struggle between David Bowie and Jimmy Page, which evidently Jimmy Page won because he's still alive. But did you know the week before or after David Bowie died, that mansion burned down?
Which was it?
That's just creepy.
Yeah, the Crowley mansion.
Was it the week after? Or week
I don't remember.
Okay.
It's one of them too. But
so there's some like crazy final battle.
Yeah, yeah. And then David Bowie died. I like to think that he astral projected in there to like assassinate Jimmy Page, and then Jimmy Page like ripped out his spirit, and then Bowie died of liver
cancer. His body is slowly decayed without its spirit over the next week.
I'll send you guys the links, or maybe we can put the link, like maybe we have show notes, so we put links, but there's like a message board out there, maybe Yahoo questions or whatever, where they're like, somebody gets on, he's like, I used to be Bowie's heroin dealer or coke dealer or whatever, and he's like, and this stuff was real, and Bowie kept a prescription bottle full of Jimmy Page's toenails and a jug full of his urine to use to cast magical shields against him. I'm going to be like, who brought David Bowie? You know, some fucking crackhead brought him and his own toenail clippings, like in a bottle. He's like, these are, I got this at a show last night.
They're Jimmy Page.
I'd like to think that Bowie, like, put out the call. He's like,
I am Jimmy Page's personal toenail clipper.
$10,000 to the man who brings me a jar of his piss.
I like to think he had like a network of undercover groupies.
Yeah.
That were just like clipping his toenails when he wasn't looking.
Get Jimmy Page to pee in this cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they hated each other for real. I don't know. I want to find, it's hard to get to the bottom of this because who was fucking writing about this in the 70s, but I want to know how their mystical, you know, feud started.
You just have to find David Bowie's grimoire.
Well, I'm thinking on celebrity ghost talkers. That's the first question. I mean, like, tell me about this mystical feud.
David Bowie would have to be the protagonist in the book because I fucking hate Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
obviously he's the... I mean, neither of them I think would be good guys.
They're both anti-heroes.
Have you ever listened to like all this the shit that Led Zeppelin ripped off? Like, I can't remember which song it was, but if you go back, it's like note for note, they ripped off like a bunch of old shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Hey man, you make that money. But if you just look at the like occult stuff in both of their, like, you know, the Houses of the Holy and all that mystical symbolism that Zeppelin was doing, and then Bowie was writing actual songs about mysticism and the Golden Dawn. And unless, have you ever heard the album Station to Station?
No.
It's like the beginning of his like Thin White Duke phase. And he recorded the album in 10 days, doesn't remember anything about writing it. He does it. The only reason that he knows that it happened is because there's a recording of it. He's been on record being like, I have no idea. I guess he was on a ton of coke. But it's an album just about his like mystical, like, trying to reach enlightenment and how he felt that he failed to reach enlightenment because he tried to cheat by using cocaine to get there. Because I guess you're supposed to spend like years of meditating and stuff. And he's like, or just do cocaine. Which I figure if you don't do magic, that's probably the best way to do it.
That's a positive message to pass on to his listeners.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you're trying to, you know, reach enlightenment and the Golden Dawn and summon demons to fight Jimmy Page, you should really put the work into it and not just, you know, coke it out.
Don't take shortcuts.
Yeah, don't take shortcuts when it comes to your soul, guys. Cocaine is not the answer.
You're gonna end up dead in the Crowley Mansion. Right. On fire.
You accidentally astral project yourself into the past.
Oh, that'd be good too. All right, but yeah, so that's what I'm working on in my mind right now. Trying to develop that book.
That's a tough egg crack right there.
Doctor Strange meets Spinal Tap.
I'm into that premise, man. That's a great premise. Thanks. You might have to change some of the names or you'll get sued, but
yeah,
people will know who you're talking about.
Right. So what have we been playing, guys? We've been playing Destiny 2. I can just tell you that right now. Iron Banner just ended, which is pretty cool.
It's a good week.
It's a once, so every month they do this week-long event called Iron Banner where you do PvP, man, at the end of the session. If your team won, you got 5 tokens. If you lost, you got 2 tokens. You turn in 20 tokens and you get a random drop. It's really one big fucking roulette fuck up. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I got 10 items and 6 of them were the same item. So I was really disappointed. But it was fun. Now that Iron Banner's over, it's like, what am I doing? There's not really anything to do.
Now that Iron Banner's over, somehow we're awful at PvP.
We did go downhill. Yeah.
I
thought we'd be riding high, though. I mean, you go from Iron Banner back to like regular quick play and competitive. I was expecting to hit all the scrubs and stuff like that. I don't know. This is a different game.
We did really good in Iron Banner. Like, I was so surprised. But I'm sorry. I just didn't think we'd be that decent at PvP.
Well, the thing about Iron Banner is that it's control, and you're always playing control. Yeah. And there's some... I don't like some of the other... Like, the thing where you pick up the balls.
Yeah.
The kind of sucks.
Emblems or something like that.
And random deathmatch and everything. I don't know. I mean, that was our first time playing the weird competitive mode last night where you have a fixed number of lives. it's harder. So there's a competitive mode where you have a fixed number of lives. When your lives are out, your team's dead or whatever. But in Iron Banner, you just like, that's my style of playing is I do will one for one somebody all night long. Like I'll kill two people, die, kill two people, die, run in and die like a kamikaze. So being conservative, like playing conservative is not my style.
Yeah.
But I'm learning.
I let people die and I pick up the scraps and take all the kills.
It's so infuriating. Well, there'll be like one dude and I'm like, great, Ish is behind me. We'll focus fire him down and Ish will wait until the dude kills me.
Ish fucking waits. The same thing is happening to me. I'll like, there'll be like a guy in front of me and I'll be like, oh, I know Ish is standing right behind me. This will be easy. And then like I shoot at him and he kills me and then the guy doesn't die. And then Ish pops out from behind a rock or something.
I do not.
And then shoots the guy. Or he like runs off in the other direction without telling me.
I do. I lone wolf it way too much. Yeah. That's, I do that way too much. But I don't know. I think I hold my own pretty decently.
Well, I mean, it works. You wait until me and Danny get murdered, and we've already like taken half the dude's health away, and then you pop out and do the final shot.
And he chained back, so yeah. Ish can just do that to Shane and then stop fucking with us.
I played a lot of Far Cry Primal. So
Where it's like Far Cry 10,000 PC?
It is. It's all like BC era.
I haven't played a Far Cry since the first one.
But literally all it is just a reskin of the other Far Cry games. With the exception you don't have firearms.
It's a reskin of 4, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which I played, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Four.
You have your bow and arrow, which isn't like an archaic tool or anything. It's like a legit modern day bow and arrow, even though it looks like it's made from like a piece of reed and a piece of string, but you can still fire it like a football field right into somebody's face. So other than that, it's just like Far Cry 4. You get that and you have a club and a spear, so you don't have all the weapons, but you got to kill stuff.
Can you ride dinosaurs?
You can tame anything, like a mammoth,
megafauna.
I'm to the point now to where I can tame like saber-toothed tigers and big old Kodiak bears, so that's pretty fun. I'm not able to ride a mammoth yet, which is my ultimate goal. So you're trying to, you're part of it. There's like three main tribes that live, and you're one of them that's kind of like on the edge of extinction, and you kind of like turn the tide on the other two. One of them is like a set of cannibals, and the other faction is like the higher learned faction that's a bit more advanced than the rest, and it's you trying to stake claim to a valley and take it back.
Sounds like all the scroll parts from 4, which are like my least favorite parts of the game, where you like go into that ancient warrior and... You're running around with the tiger.
It probably is that same warrior.
Sounds like I'd rather just play Skyrim, man.
Yeah, I just couldn't get into Skyrim.
What?
I really couldn't. I played it on 360.
Get into Far Cry. This is weird.
Far Cry 4 is really good.
I played like Far Cry 2 or something, and it was all right.
Two was kind of crappy.
Yeah, four is the first one I ever played.
I only played the first one.
It was definitely engaging.
On PC. 3 was fantastic, and so was Blood Dragon, which was a reskin of 3.
Yeah, I need to play Blood Dragon.
That's like the 80s one.
Yeah. And then you had Far Cry 4, and this is like a reskin of that. It's kind of neat how they just take a game, and they kind of delete some stuff, add some stuff, and they have a second game that much much faster. But
is it the Assassin's Creed method? Reskin.
Reskin. What else is there? I think... I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I was going to say something else.
What's going on with the new Assassin's Creed? And people are upset because of the pre-order bonus or something?
The origin ones? I don't know. I just know it takes place.
Really, I guess there's like a big part of the game's only accessible if you pre-order.
Oh, I think there's like a bonus mission or something like that.
Evidently, it's like a big chunk of the game, though. I don't know. People were like, this is ridiculous.
All I know is that I stopped playing Assassin's Creed games for like 5 years, and I missed like 20 games.
They do come out so often compared to other.
I haven't played one properties. Since the pirate one.
Black Flag?
I didn't even play that one. I played like 3, and then I missed like Black Flag, Syndicate,
There's one where they go to Constantinople.
Yeah.
There's one where they do...
And then there's a couple of side scroller ones.
Isn't like Ezio in like one. 5 of them or something?
The 2D ones are pretty good.
Yeah. Ezio is in Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed 3, and Assassin's Creed
Brotherhood.
That's
Ezio.
No, well, 3 is. Is 3 not when he's in North America?
Yeah, I thought 3 was the North America one. Yeah,
maybe. Okay.
Ezio's in like 2, Brotherhood, and something else. There's one more. Like,
yeah, there was like another game
or something like that.
Did anybody see the movie?
Yeah.
I didn't.
No.
How was it?
I don't remember a thing about it. I watched the whole thing. It's not remarkable at all.
I really like Michael Fassbender. Was he not good?
I don't know who he is, honestly.
He played the main guy.
He plays Magneto, and the young Magneto.
Isn't Far Cry 5 set in like the American South? Is that Far Cry 5?
Yeah.
Is there a Far Cry 5?
It's not out yet, though, but it's going to be like you're like fighting like a alt-right militia kind of.
Yeah, that's what it is. It takes place against like a modern-day militia in the United States.
Yeah, it seems like a bunch of people I wouldn't mind shooting at.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to us from the South, we love guns and rednecks.
It's like Wolfenstein, too.
I like guns and rednecks. I just don't like, you know, racists.
Racist, yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Or people that want to overthrow the government.
What about the government now?
You might like the people that want to overthrow the government now.
Legally, that'd be fine.
Rise up.
Cover that ass, Matt.
Impeach it.
As long as it's within the confines of law.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm up for an impeachment. I don't know what, though. I guess we have to find out what goes on with the Russian stuff. Because as much as I feel like some people just want to impeach anybody they don't like.
I just feel
like I don't like him at all, but
he's super incompetent, and he's like, his diplomatic relations are dangerous.
That is true.
His lack of diplomatic relations.
Yeah. I think I look forward to having his tweets read back to him in front of Congress.
That's going to be hilarious. Because you know they're going to have to read the words hashtag something at the end of them. So big old Supreme Court justice.
Hashtag bless.
Hashtag big old dick.
Did he ever... I haven't checked. Has he ever tweeted anything about Harvey Weinstein?
You know? Yeah, he has.
Has he?
I don't remember exactly what.
To grab him by the pussy.
No, it was something just hypocritical. Like I
did. Harvey taught me everything he knows.
No, it was definitely like impugning Harvey Weinstein for
what a despicable man treating women like that.
Yeah.
What'd you play, man? Did you play anything?
You guys are gonna just roll your eyes at me.
All right.
Let's I played par for the course.
I played Golf Story.
Golf Story.
Oh, I heard that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
So I'm not rolling. Some of you aren't rolling your eyes.
Yeah,
I read better reaction than I expected.
I read about it on Kotaku. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it's like a mix between Earthbound and like Mario Golf, the old Mario Golf games.
I love the old Mario Golf games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. I actually got the new Mario Golf for 3DS. It's pretty decent. It's good.
Yeah, it looks good. It's a fun game. It's got a really good sense of humor, and there's lots of cool shit you can do with... There's way more you can do with a golf club and balls than you would think.
Tell me about it.
Is that a 3DS game?
No, it's on Switch. I think it's a Switch exclusive right now.
You got to do that every time you say Switch. Switch.
What was that again? Switch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you guys excited for Mario next week?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick that up.
Odyssey.
Oh, the other thing about Golf Stories, though, is I really like it, but I can't play it anymore because it's fucking glitchy as fuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's like, unfortunate.
Your ball gets...
You've advanced so far?
I don't,
or it's just in general.
Maybe it's because my stats are too high for where I'm at right now, because I just really been grinding my stats out.
Have you picked up Stardew Valley?
Not yet. But I'm in a part where you have to play mini golf, and like I just keep getting the ball like crammed into like corners and shit, and like the guy won't move until the ball stops moving. So
and the ball never stops moving.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or it's like continuously stuck on the geometry or whatever.
I'm just getting hit by that windmill over and over and over again.
That clown keeps you laughing at you.
Yeah. It's irritating, though.
I'm actually pretty impressed with the amount of indie games that have been coming out for the Switch. They're actually putting out a decent library.
I'm pretty unimpressed of how many non-indie games have been coming out for the Switch.
Well, it's pretty good for that so far. It's not that old yet. I read that they were curating the indie games. Like, I read some indie developer complaining that like they had to wait a really long time to get Switch to look at the Nintendo to get look at their game.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
Like, no, because I think that's kind of what brought the Wii U down a little bit, is that they just had like a glut of horrible
games. Let whatever go on there.
And... like indie games.
There's a game that I've been wanting to play on PC, but it's coming to Switch, so I'm just going to wait. It's the, I forget what it's called. It's like the Kentucky Highway. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I forget. It's like a noir horror game.
Oh,
it's supposed to be really cool.
So I think I've never seen the trailer for that. I don't remember the name of it either, though.
Danny's got it. He's pulling out the phone.
Yeah, when they release that schedule.
I can't remember what it is, but I think I have it on PC already.
That schedule that Switch released, where they're integrating some of the like the more mature and mainstream titles into their service, was pretty neat. With Doom and Skyrim and all that. I know Skyrim is like the 15th platform it's been on.
But I'm excited for Doom because I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, me either.
And
You know, Kentucky Route Zero.
Kentucky Route Zero.
You guys saw that EA acquired Visceral.
What's Visceral?
Well, they didn't.
I remember hearing about that, but I don't know.
Acquire Visceral. They shut it down.
Shut it down. Yeah.
I'm not sure what Visceral made. I remember reading that.
Dead Space.
Dead Space. Oh, those games. There's been a lot of bad boy EA memes going around like they did a few years ago. And Doom is always like the number one thing where it's like, make a game with a great first-person story, no microtransactions, like expansive areas and stuff like that. And then it just shows like everything EA has made like in like a little square, and it's like, not you. Not
didn't
you.
EA already own, didn't they already publish the Dead Space games?
No, they did. They shut down that studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the meme where it's like a 9x9?
Yeah.
It's like there's a meme where you do a 9x9 and each image in the 9x9 has a word in it, and you have one dead in the middle, and it's like, so it's like, thank you for being, not you, a great developer or something like that.
Yeah. It's all the EA like microtransaction shit that killed Dead Space 2, from what I understand. I didn't play the last two.
Three?
It was Dead Space 3.
Dead Space 3.
Yeah. One and two were good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never finished 3 because it was like, I was like, this is not a Dead Space game. It's like all open worldy and like super customizable. I'm like, I just wanted another horror shooter.
Hey, Austin. A roommate just walked in.
Nice.
Let's get back from Sitwell's. All right. We won't be too much longer.
Hey, Dan.
What else are we talking about, guys?
Rookie Horror. I think you're next, right? On what you played.
Danny only played
Destiny. I definitely played Destiny. And I have a what's it called? Gamefly subscription going right now. And they just made a sequel to The Evil Within. And
yep.
I never finished the original Evil Within. I remember it was the first Halloween that I was in my new house, and I was like super excited to have like trick or treaters and stuff. So I got it on Xbox 360, and I played it in my room so that I could hear when people knocked on the door and stuff like that. And no, I think like three people knocked on my door all night, so I got pretty far in it. But I just never finished it, and that was like 2014. They made an Xbox One version too, and I didn't feel like going back to 360 because my 360 is literally a Netflix machine right now. I can open the disc tray for my 360 maybe one out of 20 times. So I just decided just restart the whole game on Xbox One. I'm like almost done with it. It's like all right. It's pretty much exactly how I remember it. It's so long, like, and there's no point to it whatsoever, basically, because you're basically trapped in a psychopath's mind. So like the scenery keeps changing. You're like making progress, and all of a sudden you're in a totally another fucking different part of the world and stuff like that. So I'm like just trying to get to the end before my Gamefly subscription ends up right now.
That reminds me of Alan Wake. Just always going to different areas.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Alan Wake. It's like you never really feel like you're getting anywhere.
Or life.
Yeah.
Or life in general. Yeah.
But I also put the new South Park game on my Gamefly list, thinking like there's no fucking way I'll ever get it, but I'll just put it on there in case I do. And they actually send it to me. So as soon as I finish Evil Within, I can just do that one.
The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah, hopefully. I feel like that should be a pretty short game. I don't remember the Stick of Truth being very... Yeah, I don't remember Stick of Truth being very difficult. Or long.
At this point, it wasn't Obsidian that did it, but I heard that the studio that took it over did a good job. So, I never did anybody play the first one?
No.
Stick of Truth?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played it. It was alright.
Nice. Cool.
I also played more Metroid Returns.
You beating
Metroid
it?
Returns.
No, I don't play it that much. Like, I'll play it for like an hour or two a week.
Yeah, I'm at a point where I don't touch my 3DS because I have a Switch.
My thumbstick broke off the nub.
Ooh, the nub.
It's not fun to play.
You just got to stab your finger to move.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ow, ow, ow.
are you guys getting Xenogears 2?
Never Switch. Even played Xenogears 1. I never Xenogears played the first one. But
I've got
Xenoblade, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got it on 3DS, though.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
I need to get a new 3DS.
I couldn't get through it.
Do
it
you?
My game.
Yeah, because I mean, I have a library of 3DS games. I'll go back and play occasionally.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to play them with the thumbstick broken.
Well, the new 2DS looks really, really sweet.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get the 3DS. That's the 2DS.
It doesn't look like
3DS.
The head of a hatchet anymore.
Yeah.
It looks like a really nice piece of machinery. I'm going to try to, because I assume there'll be a slim window when they're out and from when they're out and discontinued. So I'd like to get one.
Oh, you think they're going to get discontinued? I thought that was the new model they were rolling with. Like, I thought they're discontinuing the 3D.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because nobody uses it anymore.
You know, like the DSiX or whatever, like the epitome, like the apogee of the DS line was only in production a very short time, and then they became really expensive because they're hard to find.
Yeah. That was like right before the 3DS game. Yeah.
All right. So, well,
you think they're just going to stop making 2DSs altogether?
Yeah, I think so. I think eventually they will. I think we'll see. I mean, they announced that there won't be a new Pokemon game.
I saw for 3DS, that.
So that's usually the nail on the coffin of any handheld console.
I feel like Sun and Moon just came out, and now they made like different Sun and Moon or
Ultra
something like
Sun
that.
And Moon. Ultra Sun.
They're trying to do a yearly release since they've had the 3DS. 2015. So they did 2013 saw X and Y. 2014 was Alpha and Omega or whatever it was. 2015 there was a lull, and then 2016 they did Sun and Moon, and then this year they're doing
Ultra. Was it really 2016 when that game came out?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So they've done a release every year except for 2015, and I think that was because they weren't doing a remake; they were doing a brand new game that year. So, but
the first Pokemon game I ever played was X, and I borrowed that from James when we worked together at Flip Daddy's.
Flip Daddy.
That's right when we started this podcast.
That was
when you won an overpriced burger.
I heard the Flip Daddy's caught on fire or something over the weekend.
Good.
Saw that on Facebook.
You got your alibi all squared away.
Where was I? I was at Flip Daddy. Oh, no. No. Yes. I do have an alibi if anybody wants to check. You know, I'm not sad. Wish I could say otherwise.
Which Flip Daddy's?
I don't know. I just saw Flip Daddy's caught on fire on Facebook.
There's six of them now, so.
Yeah,
I think it was the one you worked at, because I think Ryan was talking about it.
Liberty. Nice. Or where was
in
that
Union?
One? Union, that's what it was.
The first one I worked at, yeah. All right. Well, we are reboot-a-weaning with Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is a beloved classic.
Since Ish didn't watch it, I think he should have to explain what Rocky Horror Picture Show is.
It's been a long time. I've seen the original. Yeah. Actually, like...
But explain, you know, the cultural significance and, like...
No clue.
So it's a beloved classic that I know that I watched probably once a year ever since, you know, I don't know when the first time I watched it, probably like I was 12, 13. I remember it coming on television, and I'm from, you know, Eastern Kentucky. I remember my parents, I could tell that my parents had enjoyed it as kids, but now they were kind of like, oh, I don't know if you should like watch it or whatever. So I think I snuck and watched it on TV because I think it was like TNT at like 1 a.m. was the only like channel and time it was allowed to be played because it was too lewd for network television right. Back in the day. In the early 90s. And then I remember I got to high school, and some of my friends were like, oh, we're going to go to Lexington to the Kentucky Theater and watch it, you know, in the theater. And they do like a live reenactment. I'm like, well, what's that? And then I went, and I'm like, that's really cool. And then they're like, yeah, we do it every, like, once a month. And I was like, maybe not. Like, maybe like once a year I'll go see this. But it was really cool. You know, he was like to be 16, hang out with a bunch of other 16-year-olds, drink beer that you smuggled into the theater. It was a lot of fun. And I know since I now live in Cincinnati that I believe the Esquire does something similar. I think every city's got a Rocky Horror
Picture Show. Yeah, I used to run Be Projectionist there, and they did it every week for a while.
That's all.
Yeah, I would have to stay till like 3 in the morning on Saturdays.
How many?
With live actors, yeah, who were like complete pedophiles.
Yeah, how much toilet paper did you have to clean up?
I did spend some time as a janitor in that would have to clean up after that. It was a pain in the ass.
I never understood why they weren't just like, you can bring toilet paper in, but we're locking the doors to the theater and no one can leave without the toilet paper that they brought in.
Did they all bring newspapers and party hats and shit? Like,
oh, yeah. yeah. They brought lots of and props and shit.
Uh-huh.
I did start a tradition that might still be going on at the Esquire. I would give them all the finger as I started the... They would turn around and give me the finger.
Nice. Have you been back to watch it?
No, I haven't. I should go back, see if that still survives.
But yeah, so I guess Fox decided that they were going to redo a bunch of the classic musicals, and they were going to do a thing where they did like musical live. So they did like Grease live, and they broadcast it on Hulu simultaneously, so you could watch them do it live. And they're like, we're going to do Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I don't know if they tried it or what happened, but they're like, but we're going to pre-record it first. And so they did it, and we're going to talk about it tonight. We could call this one How to Murder a Classic, the Rocky Horror reboot. Jesus fucking Christ, was it
First
bad?
Of all, things I liked about it. I liked that I liked the framing device of the theater with the audience, so you kind of got a feeling of what it was like to be there for the live show.
It did seem like a homage to the live show.
Yeah, definitely. And I liked some of the character. I liked some of the actors in it. Like we were talking before, we liked Riff Raff a lot.
Yeah, the guy that did Riff Raff was amazing. I know the original
spot on.
The original Riff Raff was the guy that wrote the music, right? It was the guy that wrote the musical himself. I think he cast himself as Riff Raff. So
I don't know. I don't actually know anything about like the guy who wrote. I've heard that he killed himself shortly after it came out, but that might have just been.
I don't think that's true. Said.
Yeah,
I don't think. I think he did a lot of like. Now I'm just talking out of my ass. I should have just took 2 seconds to look at Wikipedia, but I'm pretty sure the guy who played Riff Raff was the guy that wrote the music stuff, and I think he went on to like produce and do rock records throughout the like 70s, 80s.
The original one came out in the 70s, didn't it?
80s? Was it 80s?
I think it was the early 80s.
Really?
Are you talking about
Riff Raff from Hook?
No.
Did you watch Rocky Horror Picture Show?
What is Riff Raff?
The butler.
Okay. The butler. The butler's name is Riff Raff.
The guy who comes back at the end with the space laser guitar.
I didn't catch a whole lot of characters' names.
I know a lot of the names.
That's fair. They don't really say Riff Raff's name very often in that. So unless you like go to it all the time.
Because like the original movie, it was one of those things when I was a kid. It was like, good
God. Wow.
It was one of those things where like we'd have to sneak and watch it. Like my sister and brother had it on VHS, but then again, they were 12 years older than me, 10 years older than me. So it really wasn't in our wheelhouse, but like, I don't
1975.
Know. Yeah. It was a very sexualized movie that like a little kid could watch and be like, oh, dang. Like, there's stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Maybe make you question yourself and some other things.
Richard. Makes me feel kind of funny when
it does.
Richard Fritter and Brad are in bed together.
Richard O'Brien is still alive.
Yeah, for somebody to, like, somebody to bang a dude and then walk across the hall and bang a chick, it's like, yeah, there's shit going on in this movie I'm not used to.
Tim Curry, man, he's sexy.
He is.
I was pretty sure that was bullshit because I learned that from a bunch of stoners I was running around with when I was 19. So.
Reliable sources.
Oh, you know, the dude from Rocky Horror Picture Show totally killed himself after that movie came out, man.
Yeah, man. I heard he was high on weed.
He was snorting weed, mainlining it, man, right up his butthole. Anyway, he's still alive.
So but the Marianne Theater in Bellevue did the like monthly or like bi-monthly. And my sister and them would go to it when they were teenagers.
Get finger banged.
Get finger banged by a bunch of college students. Yeah.
I made out with many, many women at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I think one of my first non-high school girlfriends was, I say girlfriend, we dated for like 2 weeks. And then I didn't call her anymore because she lived in Lexington. I lived in Mount Sterling. And we had landlines back then. And I was like, I'm done with this. But she was, one of the people. So, yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
I think she was in her 20s and I was in high school, so maybe they are just all pedophiles.
I really think they are. I mean, when I was doing, they would single out like the youngest looking girl in the crowd.
Who here's a Rocky virgin?
Yeah, the Rocky virgins. They bring
on
them up
stage,
and then they would end up going home with them at the end of the night, 9 out of 10 times. Unless
you'll
they're unless
my
that girl's dad,
fatter little girl or boy or whatever.
Yeah. So
profoundly disturbing.
Yeah, I never got that experience.
They were gross people. I'm not a fan of them.
Anyway, go on. I'm reading about Richard O'Brien. See what else he did.
So
I guess
he was in the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Poor bastard. That was another awful movie.
We did that movie on here, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did that. And
the,
Mazes
the
and Monsters.
The dude could have just jumped into the map and thrown it off the cliff, and he wouldn't have had to die.
Yep. Yeah. I think my first experience with Rocky Horror Picture Show, I was like 19, and I was dating a 14-year-old, but she was like way more. Like I was a virgin.
Already off to a bad start.
I was a virgin, and she has already been like with like a bunch of dudes. So I mean,
yeah, just say that.
Who's the pedophile?
Yeah.
Me or the 14-year-old that's sleeping with every dude on the block?
I'm starting to think maybe you volunteered to do these Rocky Horror Picture Movies, the Esquire.
No, I did not. I was the only projectionist at the time that was there. So
the only willing projectionist.
The only one over 16.
Yeah. Anyway, she introduced me to Rocky Horror Picture Show, and that's the first time I'd seen it.
Ooh. Well, that's a fond memory for you, Matt. I'm glad you shared that with us.
I went out with her for like 2 years. It wasn't like I was...
Well, so she made it to 16.
She made it to 16.
So if you broke up, it was still illegal.
You're like, I'm 21 now, and you're 16. And I'm going to go to the bar.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was about to say, actually, now I think about it, if it got more than 2 years, it would have been bad.
Yeah, it was definitely not cool, but at the same time,
you're going to edit this part out.
No, I'm not.
It's my 21st birthday. I'm sorry, we have to break up.
I'm going to the bar. You go back to home, man. We'll see you later.
No, she broke up with me. She cheated on me with someone closer to her age.
So. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You were too old for her.
I was in Christian college at the time. We were trying to have a long distance relationship.
Oh, God, that makes the story make so much more sense.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was all kinds of fucked up, so not excusing it.
Now I know why you won't use a Ouija board.
All right. Yeah. So, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well,
Danny, walk us through.
Well, I'll just share my fond childhood memories of Rocky Horror Picture Show. I have none. I managed to avoid that particular piece of cinema for most of my life. I didn't actually ever watch it until in college. I felt like I had missed out on a lot of stuff that, you hear about a lot of the movies and stuff. I had never seen a lot of cult classics at this point that, like, I was a freshman in college. So I spent, like, a lot of time just rewatching old movies and stuff like that, trying to catch up. And it came about that my freshman year, the student union was doing a production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So I was like, I've never seen the movie, but I guess I'll just go to this musical version of it. It'll probably be about the same. Little did I know that it was literally just going to be me sitting there watching a movie while people in skimpy outfits ad-libbed in front of me. Or not ad-libbed, but lip-synced. So it wasn't until just tonight last week when we were talking about this, that I realized that's just what a Rocky Horror Picture Show is.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as an actual production of Rocky Horror Picture Show. It was a little weird for me at the time, so I didn't actually pay any attention to any of the live actors and just watched the movie. And a lot of times when I'm like rewatching a movie I haven't seen in several years, what really strikes me is how little I remember about it. But like watching this like remake and thinking about my experience, I remember like it would strike just how much I remembered about it. And it's not that like they did a very good job of reproducing or like anything like that, but it was just like nothing actually happens in the movie ever. It's just like 5 minutes of dancing to a song and then like 2 minutes of them talking and then 5 minutes of them dancing to another song and another song and another song and another song. And at the end, you realize, like, where did an hour and a half of my life just go?
One thing that was good about the original is that the music was so good and, like, over the top that it really pushed forward the plot. Like, you weren't really paying attention to the plot, and the music was so deadpan and flat in this one that the plot was out in the front, and you're like, wait a minute, there's a plot to this, and it's not very good.
It's supposed to be more of, like, a rock opera than, like, a musical.
Yeah.
It just sucks. Yeah, the music was terrible. It was so poppy.
The casting, like, one thing that I thought, like, when I heard they're doing the remake, I'm like, okay, so they're going to have to get somebody to be Tim Curry. They're going to have to get a Meatloaf analog. Like, who are these, like, cool stars they're going to bring on? They're like, just some people from cable television that you don't know.
The guy who played Meatloaf's part, Eddie, was horrible. Like,
God, it was bad.
That version of that, I love that song, and that version of that song was terrible.
Which song?
The
when he rides the motorcycle.
When he rides the motorcycle.
Oh, Cutie Patootie.
Yeah, Bless My Soul. Yeah. That's got dumb lyrics, but I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the rock and roll backbeat. Meatloaf does it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think Meatloaf's the only person who could pull that off.
And let's talk about in the remake where Frankenfurter just stabs him in front of everybody.
Let's talk about Frankenfurter first.
Yeah.
So Frankenfurter was played by Laverne Cox. You may know her from the as the transgendered hairdresser from Orange is the New Black.
So they got an actual trans person to play
the crossdresser this time.
Frankenfurter from transsexual Transylvania.
Not sure what the rules of that are, because isn't he supposed to be a transvestite, not a transsexual? Yeah. Like,
yeah. So the problem...
Sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Yeah.
My problem with it, to begin with, is so when Tim Curry did it in the original production in the 70s, homosexuality, obviously in the United States, is in a totally different place.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you have what is clearly a man in woman's clothing that's being sexy, being a sexy woman, coming off like a woman, but clearly a man, like there was a dirtiness to it, and there was this like vibe back then where it was like, you know, homosexuals will tempt me into being gay, right?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, is like Frankenfurter's like definitely filling that role in the original Rocky Horror Picture. You know, this guy's going to make me gay. He's going to tempt me into being gay.
Like, if any of the jocks had known what Rocky Horror Picture Show was about back then, they would have beat my ass for watching
it. Right, right. And then in the new one, when you get someone that literally looks like a beautiful woman, does not look like a man, has no, like, male tendencies, it just looks like a perfectly normal, beautiful woman, it takes that whole aspect away from it. Dr. Frankenfurter is literally just a woman in this. And it's like, I respect that they went like, you weren't going to get a transgendered woman, but
Eddie Izzard, or maybe like the lead singer of Against Me, that would have been good ones.
Yeah, but
they're actually like trans people.
And I just felt like the original Tim Curry was less about like being a transvestite and more about just being a gay man.
Yeah.
And I feel like they took a lot of that away in the new one. You're just like, okay. And
well, maybe they're like, they're trying to say like transsexuals are like the new gays, like the
but
some weird political shit wrapped around it. Like, I don't think they could just put like a straight man in that role now without pissing a lot of people off. Like, it would have to be a transsexual or an actual like well-known transvestite.
People at that time were really uncomfortable around homosexuals, but now people are at least a little bit more comfortable with homosexuals, but they're still really uncomfortable around transsexuals.
I guess like it just felt too comfortable for me because she didn't come off as that. Like, the whole thing was Tim Curry makes you really uncomfortable about your sexuality, and this, it's just like there's none of that uncomfortableness that's in this movie. It's like,
yeah, I'd do her, and I don't feel less straight for thinking that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, cool. She's hot. Why not?
Yeah,
that's my motto. She's hot. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Man, her singing wasn't very great.
No, and her acting was horrible. She would, like, waver in between, like, various different accents.
I don't like her on Orange is the New Black, so...
Yeah. They could have at least gotten a better trans person, like someone who was actually good at acting
and
singing.
I did go to the internet and look it up, and universally it is trashed. Like, it was not well-received. Like, I almost wonder...
Oh, God, there's a cat.
<There's> like... A cat just appeared out of nowhere. And I think it's just having a stroke.
I'm good. Just peed a little.
But I almost wonder if, because it was on Cat's Hulu care. Forever, I almost wonder if they conveniently pulled it from Hulu just to.
That's kind of the impression I got.
Make it disappear.
But I don't think you can find Grease Live on there anymore either, though.
Yeah, well, fair.
I did search live.
But Grease Live got very good reviews. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Just why I don't know if it's related or not to how badly it was reviewed.
Nope.
So I don't know. What
do
else?
Do we need to go over the plot of
Let's do it.
Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Let's, for all of you who have never seen Rocky Horror Picture Show, Danny will give you the plot. Because if you don't watch the remake, you might actually not realize there's a plot. So.
Sort of. Let's see how good you do at the end, because I'm still not sure what happens at the end.
Oh, God.
No, I couldn't tell you anything about the end. Like, just from the original, like, the semi-plot that starts it off is the only thing I know.
Is it not Riff Raff and... What's-her-face?
Riff Raff and Magenta.
Yeah, or, like, intergalactic police that tried to take Frankenfurter back to, like, because he's, like, a criminal alien
that landed on Earth to fulfill his sexual pleasures.
Yeah, and they come and get him, right?
Right.
And arrest him. But it is, like, it's a really gray area as to where they're really doing that, or if they're, like, on his side, right?
Right. But yeah.
Or if they're just pissed off. over the whole Rocky situation.
It gets murky on whether or not you should be like for or against them doing that converter, because initially, like, Brad and Janet and the doctor are super scared of him and like they want to get away, and then he turns that machine on and then they get into that weird like sexual pleasure orgy, like,
yeah, he fucks and then with their mind.
The doctor's like, we need to get away before we get corrupted, and then they end up
freaky sex machine.
They end up getting totally converted, and then Riff Raff comes and tries to take him away. Like,
time to kill y'all. All right, Danny, so, take us in.
So it kind of opens up as like a frame story. They do what is it? Is it science fiction double feature? Yeah. Is that the name of the song? Is that originally in the original movie? It is sung by mouths.
Yeah, it's just a pair of lips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
I thought what they did was more interesting.
Yeah, what they decided to do is they played on the old trope of the super sexy movie usher. And I don't know even who that was.
Was it Gwen Stefani?
It kind of looked like Gwen Stefani. If you looked it up on your phone, told me it was Gwen Stefani, I'd probably believe you right now.
Yeah, I don't think it was Gwen Stefani.
No, I don't think they would have gotten Gwen Stefani for that. But they got some blonde, dressed her up like as a 1950s movie usher. Except, you know, cut her chest open so you could see her bra and like give her a short skirt.
That's horrible.
Well, this chest of her, like, I mean, it's supposed to be like a button up jacket.
Yeah, I know.
Cut it open.
The way you said it made it sound like they sliced her chest open.
No. And then she like sang the whole song while dancing around in a old cinema while people were filing in to watch the movie. And it opens up, of course, with the wedding of Janet and I don't even remember the guy's name. What's his name?
Brad.
Brad's friend. And as they're driving away, Brad proposes to Janet to the song "Damn It, Janet."
It's Ivy LaVon is the usherette.
Ivy LaVon. Never heard of her. So then they get in their car and they're driving to their professor's house because they like met in his class and they want to tell him that they're engaged or something like that.
Use a fucking phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they try to do in the car, and look how well that turned out for them. But the car breaks down, blows the tire, and they see an old castle and they get out of their car and so I don't remember some of the songs that they did.
There is a light at Frankenfurter's place.
Did they make some new songs for this though?
No.
Oh, okay.
They did "Damn It, Janet" after the.
Yeah, I remember that one, but
I didn't remember the light.
There is a light one
that was in the original also. Yeah.
Okay, so they get to the castle, and I guess Riff Raff is his name. Lets him in.
I guess that song that was actually one of the songs that was. Better than the original. I thought it was that there's a light, but yeah, well, that song's kind of boring.
Pretty much the worst song in the musical, as far as I can tell. I may be getting this reversed, but I think in the original, didn't they do "Sweet Transvestite" and then "Time Warp"?
No,
"Time Warp's" first.
Yep, "Time Warp's" as soon as they come
in.
Yeah.
I thought that Frank was dancing around for "Time Warp" too. Never mind.
No, well, if he is, he hasn't been introduced to Brad and Janet yet. I don't remember.
So they come in and they're doing "Time Warp," and then Frank gets lowered down on like some sort of crane thing. This is like in the middle of this ballroom, and he's singing "Sweet Transvestite." There's like a couple of minutes of talking before they get stripped of all of their clothes, and then Brad seems to be like just playing along at this point, straight lace. But as soon as they get into the lab, he just like lets loose and like yelling at Frankfurt, like, "We asked for a phone, and you have failed to honor our request." And Frankfurt has like a
You're so forceful.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, you must be so proud of him for being such a manly man." But he's like got a weird outfit now, where he's got this like long pink. The remake was so much more colorful than I remember the old one being. I remember the old one being like all black and white clothing,
black, white, and red.
Black, white, and red. Yeah,
it's so colorful. Like, I, like the one chick always had like a blue mouth, and she kept opening, like there's blue hair all over the place and stuff like that.
Like she'd been eating like those.
So yeah, they keep putting lollipops in her mouth, blue lollipops in her mouth. So I think it's like supposed to be that her mouth is just permanently dyed blue from all these blue lollipops. What was that girl's name? Like Frankfurt's like original lover.
Don't know.
What?
Said I don't know.
I can't remember.
Donna or something?
Maybe. But that's supposed to be her. And they... Now let's
talk about Oh, I'm sorry, Ish. Are you bored? That's a podcast right now?
I was reading about the movie.
Is the podcast interrupting your web browsing?
Like some kind of pop-up blocked up and started talking. I was like, what?
So after like a little bit of talking in the laboratory, they launch into Rocky's, creation? It's like kind of Frankensteinish. He's like in an overturned refrigerator filled with ice or something like that. They get shocked by lightning, comes to life, and sings.
Columbia is her name. Sorry.
Sings like Democulus's sword, which is I never understood.
Sort of Damocles.
I never understood that reference, like why he would think he was under the sword of Democulus.
I guess I don't know because he's clearly in a weird position with a psychopathic person like who is
gonna kill him. I guess that's I always took it more literally, like being under the sword of Democulus means you're like in a supreme position of power, and you have to like, you know, like, you know what I mean?
I thought the sword of Damocles was the story about the guy who wakes up and there's like a sword hanging from like a very fine thread.
Yeah, well, the idiom is there's like a king, King Dionysus, and Damocles is like one of his servants or subjects or something like that, and he's like saying how fortunate and how wonderful Dionysus' life must be for being the king. So he offers to trade places with him. And so Democulus sits on the throne and he hangs a sword above his head to symbolize the fear that you have to live with every single day as a king, that at any moment your subjects could just like overthrow you. Yeah, it's like a sword hanging over your head by a horse's hair.
Yeah, you can say it's like an allusion, you know, to the imminent, never present peril faced by those in positions of power.
Yeah,
right.
So I never understood how that applied to.
He's like the hottest guy there, and that's like a boon for him. But it's also ultimately what ends up getting him killed. So I don't know. Maybe
I don't know. But he launches into that. And I don't remember what the song is called after that, where it's like...
It's just 7 days, I'll make you a man.
7 days, I'll make you a man. Okay. But they're just like playing with gym equipment while like making out, basically.
Yeah. In the most sexual way possible, playing with gym equipment, yeah.
Yeah.
All gym equipment is usually always sexual, so...
It's true,
yeah. And if you think I'm skipping over story points, I'm really not.
No.
God, it gets so much... Then Brad and Janet decide to spend the night, or maybe they get knocked out. I can't really remember. And they're in separate beds, and they get sexually assaulted by Frankfurt.
They both do. But they both want it, quote unquote.
Yeah. And then after Janet like does her thing with Frankfurter, she like watches, sees it on a video screen that Brad's doing his thing with Frankfurter, and she gets upset. So she hits on Rocky. Like I really like, they actually do like that "Touch Me, Touch Me, Touch Me" song. It's like probably it might be one of my favorites, or maybe second favorite song in the entire thing.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But it's her and Rocky getting it on.
Oh, did you skip the part where Eddie comes busting in?
Oh, that's true. Eddie busts right after Rocky. Is it before Rocky gets created or
it's,
after
it's,
Rocky?
It's after Rocky the sort gets, of Damocles
it's just
thing.
Such a minor, like he like comes in, sings Cutie Patootie, gets stabbed and thrown out the window, and then they just move on. Like, that didn't happen. Then the blue mouth girl.
Columbia.
Goes like, no, Eddie! Is it Columbia? Is that her name?
Mila played Eddie in the original, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
And we forgot to mention that Tim Curry is actually in this one.
Oh, he's the criminologist.
The narrator.
Like, he plays like the just a step to the left guy.
Yeah. He's like the frame story... inside the frame story of the movie.
Right.
And there's like a couple of scenes where the movie people actually play into it. That's why I was asking, because like in the movie, the the movie Goers, like when they go out into the rain, they all pull out newspapers and put them over their head. And, well, in a scene I'm about to discuss, they all pull out party hats and put them on. But after like Rocky and Janet are discovered having sex in the icebox for some reason, then that's when the doctor shows up. That they were going to visit, and for some reason he's at Rocky's mansion now, and or not Rocky, but Frankfurter's mansion. Frankfurter seems to think that the doctor works for the government and is like spying on him or something like that.
Right.
but the doctor says he's only come looking for his nephew.
His name's Dr. Scott, and at one point they insinuate that he was a Nazi. They're like Dr. Von Scott.
Oh,
yeah.
Which it doesn't really work because they cast him as a black guy in this one.
He's a black guy.
Yeah.
But, like, Eddie is supposed to be his nephew.
Right.
And they're all having, like, a dinner. They're having roast beef dinner on a table. And then Frankfurter.
Eddie dinner.
What?
Are they supposed to be eating Eddie?
Yeah. They're eating
the original Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay. They flip the table and he's, like, perfectly, like, his body is, like, perfectly preserved underneath it or something like that.
And the original
heavily, definitely eating him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they heavily implied it in the new one, but maybe they, like,
didn't look carved up or anything. He just flips the table open. It's basically Eddie's casket and he's just, like, lying there.
Yeah.
Caskety.
They cut some meat off his ass. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That's why Columbia freaks out.
Columbia. Oh.
In that scene, she like screams and runs away because she realizes she's eating her dead boyfriend.
Okay. But they sing a song about how you knew Eddie was going to be a bad boy because he didn't like his teddy or something like that.
is it Teddy or Daddy? This is like we're in the point of the movie where I like lose focus. The movie. It gets really boring for me after this, even the original.
Yeah. Well, it's Teddy, because in the remake, they literally have a teddy bear with, like, bandages on him from being abused by Eddie or something like that.
All right.
I think one reason why the movie gets boring around this part is they call it, like, the big musical numbers are all packed into, like, the first hour.
Yeah. It's not paced well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then... there's a musical number where like Frankfurter is disciplining Janet for like having sex with Rocky, like,
or abusing her.
Yeah, basically dragging her by her hair throughout the house and stuff like that. Going, better wise up, Janet Weiss.
Yeah, the original movie was pretty progressive in some places, and also a product of its time in a lot of other places. Like the consensual rape and the abuse of Janet.
Yeah, this is where it gets
problematic.
This is where we start to get really fucked up, because now they're all running away and they accidentally run into the Medusa machine or whatever, which basically freezes them and they can't move, and he's dancing around telling them about the Medusa machine,
which it can apparently transport them to another time and place. I don't know.
He's like, so they're like, are you going to transport us to another planet? Like, stupid Janet, not another planet or something like that. Yeah. But he ends up just freezing them so they can't move, and then dresses them all up in really sexual and feminine clothing, and then unfreezes them and forces them to dance for his entertainment and sing. And that's another song. This is a part where we mentioned the doctor. The doctor is in like a wheelchair and he's got a blanket over his legs.
Yeah.
And in this part, like, the doctor gets unfroze and he starts saying, like, we've got to get out of here or we'll be, like, forever caught in his, like, lust and, like, indecency and stuff like that. And he's like, and so he's like, but at the same time he's saying this, he starts, like, slowly, like, taking his blanket off, and it turns out he's wearing, like, a panty and stockings with, like, big garters platform and shoes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he starts arching his back and, like, lifting his shoes up into the air, like, we'll be trapped like this forever.
Then they get teleported into a pool, and they have a giant orgy.
Yeah.
Sing some song.
And then eventually, like, Riffraff and
Magenta. Neptune,
Magenta, say that they want to go back home, and Frankfurter goes like, no. And then later they're like, yeah, we're going back home. Here's a laser beam. We're going to, and then we're going back home. Frankfurter sings a song like, well, I guess I'm going back home then. Going back home, 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 home. And they're like, maybe you misunderstood us. Me and Magenta are going back home. We're just going to kill you first. So they kill Columbia. They kill Frankfurter. They kill Rocky. And then they tell everyone else to leave because they're transporting the castle back to the planet of Transsexual in the galaxy of Transylvania.
Maybe that's backwards.
Is no. It? It's not.
It's not. Okay. I don't know.
Yep. It is the planet Transsexual in the galaxy of Transylvania.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of the movie.
The other thing I liked in this movie was Riff Raff's guitar. I would love to have that guitar. I think it's awesome.
Well, it shoots an antimatter laser beam.
Well, no, I mean, the actual. I want the actual prop.
It would be a sweet guitar.
He doesn't have. Want the functionality.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I don't know. Did you guys like it? Well, you didn't watch it. What did you like it?
I barely liked the original.
Yeah. I love the original. This one was horrible. It didn't have any of the spirit of the original one. It was flat. It was overproduced. It was... I hate to be that guy, but yeah, it was just bad, man.
No, it was terrible.
I would have loved like a really good remake with you know, the right casting and some non-Glee musical...
Yeah, the music was horrible.
It was bad.
I don't really remember too much about the old songs. They were more Rocky, basically.
Yeah, they're more like old, like, you know, rock opera type of shit.
There was less, like
a wall sound. And, you know.
There's less Teen Star vibrato. It was like actual music. I don't know. It's just that overproduced Glee effect that's really, really bad.
Like, some of the stuff sounds like Bowie, kind of. And
it was very glam rock.
Yeah. So...
This was fun fact. It came out a year after Diamond Dogs, which was Bowie's end of glam era album. I think it might have definitely had an effect on the writing of the musical.
Yeah.
Diamond Dogs features songs such as Rebel Rebel and Diamond Dogs.
It's a weird movie. It's like an homage to that, like glam rock and like the 1950s B movies.
Yeah, I think at that time that was like right at the end of glam rock too, so it was like right on the cusp of like Bowie made the transition from glam rock on, you know, left the Spiders from Mars phase because it was at the end, it was becoming a parody of itself, I guess,
right?
And yeah. He was smart enough to move on that, you know, move on from that, and I almost think that Rocky Horror Picture Show is that parody, like that's where it was going, and you know, I think they did a pretty good job of that. You know, I just like to tie everything into David Bowie. You know, he was right in the middle of his wizard battle with Jimmy Page at this time. So.
He was a young neophyte.
James is 6 degrees of Bowie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that about wraps it up for this episode of Rebootoween 2017 with, I think, safe to say, the worst reboot I've seen for a Rebootoween.
What we've done, yeah.
I'd have to review the tapes.
I don't know.
We did Fright Night.
We did Fright Night, which I think was a great reboot.
Yeah.
We had nothing, mostly good things to say about that. Did we not do Evil Dead?
I don't think we did. I think we were supposed to do it, and then we didn't end up...
We never actually... Because I've only seen half of Evil Dead.
Did we do Amityville Horror with Ryan Reynolds?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And that was...
That was pretty bad.
But it wasn't... I don't think it was as bad as this.
No. No.
I think I safely can say that it is the worst reboot we've watched.
I was sitting there with my hands on my ears, like, towards the end of it, like, oh my god, this really needs to end now. I almost didn't watch the whole thing.
We did Rebootoween last year, the year before that one, and guess what we did?
What?
Freddy Got Fingered.
No, we didn't. We didn't actually watch Freddy Got Fingered.
It says, Freddy, would you like some sausage? I'm guessing that's Freddy Got Fingered.
Right? Yeah, but we were making Freddy Got Fingered references.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now I'll watch Freddy Got Fingered.
No, it was Dream Warriors. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see the clip art. I saw the name. Yeah, I was like, yeah. What?
We did not watch Freddy Got Fingered, the movie. We were talking about Freddy Krueger and just made Freddy Got Fingered references.
So, yeah, as James said earlier, which may or may not make it into the final cut here, this is our last Nintendo Dreamcast, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Sure. I think we're
unless the experiment goes horribly wrong, we might retreat back to this. Yeah. But
We're going to rebrand ourselves. We've got a couple of ideas for a new podcast, you know, starting brand new and maybe getting a wider audience. So
yeah, I may release the pilot under Nintendo Dreamcast just to mm-hmm. see how it goes before I put a bunch of work into starting a new channel.
But, you know, I'm pushing for celebrity ghost talkers. So we'll see. We got a couple of ideas.
Really, we've been at this for like, I mean, not the past year, but before that, it's been a few years. And we don't exactly have a huge listener base.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think part of it is because we're not a very niche.
We're not. We're so all over the spectrum.
We're not focused. So we want to focus up. I think we're funny guys. Laser we want to bring focus. To you the best podcast we possibly can. So we're gonna hunker down and do something new.
Yeah.
A Boy and His Dog. We also did. I forgot about that one.
It's like
Salem's it's like lot. He's not even listening to what we're saying.
I'm not. He brings up an excellent point accidentally, though. I mean, this is our last show. Maybe we want to talk a little bit about what our favorite Dreamcast things are.
Ooh. Oh, man.
I think Frodo's Pants is still my all-time favorite episode.
Yeah. That was two or three episodes before I joined.
So. That was before my time, but I listened to it.
That's I was incredibly intoxicated, and I was very focused on the sexual abuse inherent in Return of the King when the orcs molested and probably raped Frodo.
Something I do think we do better than... I listen to a ton of podcasts. Something that we do better is the titles for our episodes are fucking epic. Because I went by this one that Smoke Wears No Clothes. Like, that's a pretty good one.
What?
I don't know. I'll find it again. Keep talking.
Smoke Wears No Clothes. What's that from?
I don't know. Soul Patch equals Tiny Dinklage. That was a good one.
I think my favorite one is now I'm going to have to fuck these dinosaurs. Well,
now I'm fuck these dinosaurs. That's my favorite one. That's probably my favorite episode, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think probably my favorite episode is the one where we just got James to talk about all the awful things he did in his childhood.
No, right here.
Beef and cheddar.
Beef and cheddar. Beef and cheddar.
I have it up on my screen right now.
Yeah.
Beef and cheddar. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was my. I was gonna say that's my favorite one.
I think he's like, we got the beef and cheddar story. We got the time he rocked a van till it fell over. All the
dine and ditch.
How to dine and ditch from restaurants.
You know, these are all important life hacks.
Man, man in the meat spin castle. That's a good one.
I don't even remember that one.
Wait, what is meat?
I don't
spin?
Even know what it's about.
Meat spin.
I spin you right round, baby, right round.
Oh, what
like a record player.
There's one that's called Banana Chips. And that's when you were munching on banana chips for an episode.
What's like, the Weekend of Bernie's one? Didn't that have a good name?
You're like,
that one's not on there anymore. I, just like, I think I just deleted that. Like,
the movie that week was Wolf Cop.
Oh, Wolf Cop.
That movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Still contend.
Dude. Oh, another good one. Tap square to save Kojima when you did the Kojima face art from Metal Gear Solid torture scene. Oh, yeah. That was good. Oh, man.
Good times. Well,
that's when Kojima like mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah. He was under like Sony house arrest.
He was under Konami's arrest.
The week we did Nightbreed, it was called Smoke Wears No Clothes. I don't know who came up with that one, but it's had to have been said. Another great one right after that, Kirby Enthusiasm. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right.
The dedication to Z-Milts at episode 80. that was a long time coming.
I wonder if Z-Milts is still listening.
Oh, God. No.
I hope so. Well, let's write him an email.
No, Danny's got butt cancer. That was a decent one. Followed up by butt blood. Don't be.
I know
that was about Brendan though. Right?
Yeah. Our last episode got like 34 downloads, and I like to think that
I got more than that. It's like 154.
I like to think that Z Melts was in there.
Yeah.
I like to think that Tim. And,
we know Tim was in there.
Tim was in there, and Johnny Crawford.
Our friends in Africa were in there, saw.
Nice. Ghana? Really?
Yeah. Somebody's iPhone in Ghana is just set to download the show.
It's just like...
I like to picture like a
something.
Whole village gathered around an iPhone, like listening to
classic Danny.
Episode 90, where James's thriving enterprise of walking tacos is shut down by the man at college.
That was a good one, Jim. Just all the awful things, kids.
Which is the one where I called in drunk from Charleston to tell you guys about ghost hunting.
I remember that.
92, where James challenges the McElroy brothers.
Oh, yeah. Those motherfuckers.
You challenged them to a.
That
Tostitos eat off.
The one that lives in Cincinnati now.
Was it a Tostitos eat off? Pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls, yeah.
Are you talking about
Griffin Macaroni or Justin or whatever his name is?
It's not Justin lives
the most
in
annoying
Charleston.
One.
Justin's in Huntington. Travis is here, and then Griffin's
it's
in Austin.
Travis.
Is Travis is here now?
Yeah. Okay. He was in LA.
I watched their TV show. Not impressed.
No, that show was not good.
What show? What's it called?
My Brother and Me.
Never even heard of it.
Good. Episodes 98 through 100 is a great trilogy. Sir Pizza, Old Georgie, and Trinity Ladyboy. and then finally, season 2, episode 1, Guess I'm Fucking Dinosaurs
Tonight. I feel like a lot of our pizzazz slowed down when I stopped drinking all the time.
We did a full year break from reboot-a-ween to reboot-a-ween. Yeah. We had no episodes in between.
That's nice. It's like a total year in between.
If we do celebrity ghost talkers, I will be lit the entire episode.
Yeah, you got to be drunk to talk to demons.
You have to start like 2 hours early to like, get us in the mood.
Yeah, so I guess a new show every 2 weeks.
Yep. Episode 1 of whatever we're going to call it in 2 weeks. Right in time. Well, I know what we're going to call it. It's going to be... I'm not even going to waste the...
There you go.
Yeah, we're not going to waste the material. It's coming now.
All right.
Bye. It's a good sign we don't have a name yet.
Good night.